The Protect Your Neck Podcast. UFC Abu Dhabi Breakdown. Picks, plays, and whatever else comes our way. Let's go to work.
Hot air hangs like a dead man from a white oak tree. People sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night. It's a dark night. Dark night. It's a dark night.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Dan Tom here, host of the Protect Your Neck Podcast. You might see my work at MMAJunkie.com as well as the Action Network. But on this year program, the Protect Your Neck Podcast, we break down high-level MMA. That's what we're going to do here today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this. Hopefully it's before the fight. Recording it late Thursday night, as per usual. Slightly later start time. Showing up slightly late for said start time, as per usual. Despite it being, I guess, an earlier show. I don't know. I have such tunnel vision. Like, I don't fucking know. I don't know how your people keep up with, like, matchup stats and shit. Or, like, announcements. Like, oh, this matchup's getting shifted to this. Everyone's like, oh, no, boo-hoo. And I'm like, I didn't even know that fight was happening. A, B, are we going to really be surprised that any matchup doesn't happen in this post-COVID era, right? I mean, shouldn't we be used to this by now? But again, I don't know. Maybe it's just me being jealous of that level of fandom. What's going on, Jimmy Cudo? Unfortunately, number one in the house. Number one in the house, that's right. Oh, one of my right-hand mans, I should say, number two there. Ghost Phantom, an excellent analyst in his own right. The second enforcer is here. Ghost Phantom, I got to check out. I've been so busy, I haven't really been able to check it out yet. But not just his analysis, which is excellent. You can check out on Substack. But he was on a Cagecraft podcast. Shout out to Cagecraft. Dylan Vowell and those guys there. Sorry if I'm leaving anybody out. But definitely go check them out. Matt Polly in the house. Love that, Avi. Got a three-leg, I'm thinking. Lupe, Shara, and Umar. It's Dan Tom Time Protect Your Neck. You know what? I may have a third leg. Three-leg parlay. as a three-leg parlay as well. Spoiler alert. Because we're going... You know, I didn't bring Donnie Clifton onto the show today, but like that's kind of the direction we're heading. I, of course, ended up interjecting some Dan Tomish Dan Tom into the mix. I will give you guys all of those... Essentially, what I'm on and what I'm going to be on, because there's not a lot that I like. And coincidentally, I've pretty much already gotten to what I do like. Just kind of got to hammer out some Southpaw reports and finish up and polish up the main card. Little quick pick breakdowns over at MMA Junkie. Get my prop squad, which I'm going to give you guys a teaser here. Of course, you want to check out the Props Guard article, Action Network on Fight Day, of course, because not just mine... because my shit sucks, and I suck, but there's some really good sharp folk, like we went over last week's breakdown show. I brought Billy onto the program, got plenty of people there. I don't know why I didn't mention like the chief himself, Dan Stuff, the man himself up there, and Dan's been killing it quietly, you know, he's like, he walks quiet with a big stick, Dan, you know, speaking of the third legs there, he's been doing well, though. Got Chronic Combat Conversations in the house. They had, speaking of Action Network folk, they had Liam Helson of the Prop Squad. Liam picks fights on their show, I believe, this week. What's up? Gotta beat the streak. Well, I don't know what streak we're talking about, like the losing streak, I guess. I don't know if there's really beating it. There's just kind of like disrupting it at this point. I don't know if it's really beating me down is the thing, so apologies, guys. Especially on that, like, outro of, like, the recap podcast. I was essentially, you know, having audio issues, because why not? It's not like I spend enough time and, you know, tired enough and being punished enough for all the work I put into space. But, yeah, I had, like, just, you know, get insane for not even, like, stuff that, you know, I could even figure out. Like, it just, you know, this happens to everybody, right? You have that technology which sometimes messes with you for no reason. It's kind of like the hitting the box or something, and it starts working. I didn't do that. I stopped doing that. Lord knows I've had too bad of luck to be hitting shit. I learned that a while ago with my luck as far as technology and stuff goes. So, I essentially was just recording in the thin air. And it was like my 21st like recording. I was just so done with it. I didn't think it was going to record. Like, I was on the verge of saying, like, I'm going to go jump off a bridge or something like silly. And I'm like, oh, this one actually took. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to keep it. Fuck it. Thank you guys for the likes and stuff already. I appreciate you. I don't deserve it. We're going to get to. But yeah, just a crazy day. It's a, I actually woke up early. I woke up at like 4 something in the morning for like an 8 a.m. jiu-jitsu class to make sure that I wrote my breakdown. That was due. That I got to jiu-jitsu early so I could stretch. Finally get to a gi class, finally get to a morning class. And with just circumstances as they be, me trying to get cute with a meme I created for my breakdown. You know, all the randoms, you know, I'm not going to get like Matt Serra and you guys, but all the random stomach stuff too. So even when I'm ready to go out the door and like prepared, my stomach will be like, oh, wait a minute. No, we're not going quite yet. And it's like stuff beyond your control and yada, yada. So I have all these hurdles and essentially I didn't end up finishing my breakdown. I wasn't early to jiu-jitsu. I got there just in time and I forgot my gi. And then I got in there and I forgot my phone. I was just like, oh, this is a day. I forgot, you know, apologize. I like a listener reaching out to me and I'm like the last thing I want to do, especially after I did a recap show and I have to do to get it out. I'm like, the last thing I want to do is like rehash last card, like rehash things that I've already talked about, much less like negative thoughts and whatnot. And I don't know if you guys or anyone has legit ADD, not the, oh, my ADD. Like, no, I'm talking about those of us who legit suffer. Like, I fucking left my groceries in the car, which you can't do in Vegas, folks. Like, in the Vegas summer, you don't have a grace time. So it was really embarrassing. I don't know why I'm admitting showing my ass more, but just so you guys get an idea, like, how fucking jotting, just give me some, forgive me, folks, forgive me. From short, from a little late, from any of those things, you guys already give me enough grace, but just give me a little more is all I ask. Not that you guys are coming down on me, but yeah. All right, let's get fucking to it. Everyone's piled in. Let's fucking go. Protect your neck. Let's go. All right, we're gonna be breaking down a UFC and ABC 7 from top to bottom. UFC Fight Night, Sanhagen versus Nurmagomedov. UFC Abu Dhabi. Yeah, it's you know, it's got some okay stuff on this card. If you don't judge it by the co-main event, there's actually, like, you know, some good stuff. There was supposed to be more, but I really don't care. Everyone's like, I don't know why everybody's, like, not happy that, both not happy and not surprised that Nick Diaz and Vicente Luque didn't happen. I mean, not that I want either of those guys to miss out on money, but, you know, especially Luque, I guess, right? But, yeah, again, are we really surprised, folks? But anyways, we'll break this card down from top to bottom. We got Corey Sandhagen, who's a decent underdog, plus 260 depending where you look, minus 325 on your favorite, Umar Nurmagomedov. Yeah, man, despite my me hating on the hype trains or constantly bringing up, you know, how BJ Penn did it first, quote-unquote, I obviously have a ton of respect, and I actually really do like the style of the Abdulmanap squad. And Umar fits in that lineage. Of course, he is actual cousins to Khabib Nurmagomedov. He doesn't just look the part, which, as we'll talk about in the co-main event, is enough to get you more than enough traction on the odds and otherwise promotionally. But Umar, in his defense, I believe deserves it. He deserves a chance to at least showcase his skills. He is young, but not super young. You know, he's in his late 20s, 28, I believe. Oh, that was hot. Did not wait for that to cool. That was a live reaction there. A little burnt on the tongue. I obviously think Bantamweight should get the showcase there for 5 rounds. It's nice to see that as opposed to, you know, the crappier weight classes, to speak frankly. And of course, Sanhagen, despite, you know, my Willem Dafoe meme, I'm somewhat of a wrestler myself, you know. Doing a bit of that lately. Corey is obviously, I'm a fan of his. He's an awesome fighter. And he's like, if Carlos Condit, you know, was not that Carlos Condit didn't try to wrestle. He had, like, Ricky Lindell in his corner for, like, a good stretch. He was making efforts. But you know what I mean? It's like if Carlos Condit wrestled. I mean, for Christ's sakes. He even does the K-guard like Carlos, Corey Sanhagen. It's like, man, if you go to the Carlos Condit school of cool or something, Corey. Because I like both guys. However, if I got to put that bias aside, which, in my fairness, I do, you know, or whatnot. Like, I joke, and I'm like, oh, I'm going against the Dan Tom stuff, this card, not just because of the results have been crushing, you know. Speaking to you guys off of an 11-fight losing streak with an only one-win reprieve before a 10-fight losing streak preceded it to go 2-21. So, you know, it's like, well, 2-21, Dan, you're missing two events. Well, I was off for two events, which is, like, really weird when I looked at Umar Nurmagomedov's resume, and I'm like, who is this fucking Bezcat guy? You know, I was like, what the fuck? Am I looking at the right thing? Like, I was tripped out for a second because I was over in Thailand for that fight, and I was like, was this a last minute? I'm like, no, it looks like it was booked. You know, the guy was decent, clearly. You know, he reminded me of, like, an early Peter Yan in the sense of his, like, scrambling and scrappiness from that aspect, and, you know, not boxing and completely stylistically, although he was able to rock Umar Nurmagomedov, shifting forward with a counter, which is a reality that, you know, is going to be lively with his style in general and his dynamic, both the style on the feet in a vacuum, as well as the larger dynamic it's attached to, you know, meaning the level changings will probably come after the shifting is what it's setting up for. Closing the distance is what it's setting up for. Therefore, you're only kind of encouraging that hot zone. And much as I love shifting striking. What does it invite? Well, counter shots, right? So yeah, you got that there, and sorry, I had another string that I probably lost, and hopefully I'll pick up in a second. But essentially, Where I was gone with the fights and whatnot. But yeah, so you know. Umar was able to pass the test there. He was breathing heavy at the end, but he was wrestling at a ridiculously high pace. And the other guy, again, whether it's like a Peter Yan description or Armin Tsarukyan and Makhachev, kind of a parallel there, analogy, that probably still will age well, even if, you know, to some detractors, maybe it doesn't. I wouldn't know. I'm trying to stay tunnel vision and away from all the hype and bullshit and confirmation bias and self-pump up BS of the old MMA gambling Twitters. So I really wouldn't know, but I don't know. I don't know if I like the money line, but I do like the Nurmagomedov side here. Even though I'm a guy, like I said, likes the proven products and all that shit, again, for what it's worth, like I was kind of joking earlier, the stylistics. Sorry, Brownie's just bathing herself with her tongue over there. Giving her, you doing stink. The stylistic analysis actually does line up with the, you know, jokingly opposite day, somewhat picks here. And you know, in my defense, for the analysis to show my work, God forbid, because that fucking matters. Yeah, Sanhagen has back exposure, which is why I picked him against Sterling, aged well. Also why I cited that and picked against him against Dillashaw, though that was a semi-controversial scorecard, right? As far as the way you could dissect that, you know. So I'm just trying to keep that same energy and be fair, despite being on the air quote right side of that one. It still remains. And even when you look at fights, like the rare times where Font was able to get on top, in his most recent fight, granted that's still like a year ago for Sanhagen, I mean, you're seeing him in scramble still expose his back there too. It's hardwired in his game. And I looked at his last three fights and he was showing it essentially. So I know he's been working on his wrestling, but that's still showing itself. And I know he's gonna be working with Trevor Whitman for this camp, which is cool and all, but I don't know how much that's gonna change the hardwiring grappling propensities that are pretty laced deeply into his game at this point. And against a guy who's already going to encourage you to give your back from suggestive shoulder pressure, riding positions, strikes along the fence, he plays that whole meta of the wrist feeds, wrist traps, post disruption stuff that, you know, I made a tweet earlier shouting out what my guy Ben Cohn at BJJ Oversimplified was talking about on this here program. For the top five rear naked choke artists in MMA. We didn't mention Umar Nurmagomedov, but we mentioned the tactics and the lineage he comes from and the history of those tactics. So he shows them all, folks. can he get stopped on the feet? Perhaps. But even when he's been rocked, he's got that second nature, let's wrestle, let's get hardwired, let's get down here. And you like to see that, you know. As far as a fighter you're betting on, regardless of the price, they are going to go to their A game. Even when under duress, that is a really important thing to see. I think Corey Sanhagen made a great point that he expects Umar to kind of take it easy the first round, since it is his first five-round fight. Like I said, he shows to be a pretty decent athlete with a good motor attached, but we still don't know, right? And he was still taking heavy, even though he did the job, he was still taking heavy breaths and having a hard time recovering in that post-fight speech for the recent three-rounder, right? So things could get interesting. People saying that, shout out to my guy Martin P, listener here, was saying it could get real interesting. Once again, I'm like, yeah, no, I said the same thing in my breakdown. It's not out yet. But yeah, it's, maybe it's out by the time you listen to this. I think it should be. But yeah, you know, Corey Sandhagen's both his stamina and staying power, two different things. He's proven it. That being said, I agree that it'll probably be a slow round regardless of result for the first round. But if we get in the championship rounds and Corey Sandhagen's still there, either something went wrong for Umar, which is not necessarily the case, maybe even half the time necessarily, but maybe more than half the time, because we don't know, we could be trending toward something being wrong and a bottom of some sort dropping out. So for that reason, the hot rounds, get your hot rounds here. For Umar is round 2 and 3. I played those two rounds by sub. Umar Nurmagomedov, round 2 sub, plus 1,200. Round 3 sub, plus 1,600. Quarter unit apiece. So I was going to go, maybe this is the thread I was going to pick up, just my fucking losing this. But like, I was going to go, just because I'm just beaten down and lifeless at this point of this game. Like I was saying with on the recap show, like I just feel like I'm back in the mid to early aughts following the NBA, and just all the corruption and shit is so rife. And it's just so stacked for the promotional darlings to do well. You know, management's fucked, right? It's like baseball. So you get disenfranchised, and I wasn't even betting back then. It wasn't even that. But yeah, so me being pretty broken down and all, I was just like, you know what, let's go down to the, just betting what, because that's essentially, my bankroll's pretty much dead at this point, too. This is, we're on the last of it, and I don't really know how much heart I have to keep, investing, but to also put my money where my mouth is, while still staying consistent, I'm not going to change up unit size, much less change up my record. I'm wearing all that, I'm keeping all that consistent, folks. Surprise, surprise, I know, and I'll be rewarded for it, I'm sure, like I have been, right? But yeah, like, I was going to go down to, like, just literally betting, like, $1 on shit. But then, I was like, I still want to do round robins, whether it's, like, tracked or untracked, because they really are fun, and fuck the haters out there. It's just like, especially at this point, like, I know they haven't hit, and I'm doing shitty, but look how shitty I'm doing. Look at the things that I'm on the wrong side of, all the things working against me that we've talked about, and I don't care to go in and bore you with any more. But needless to say, suffice to say, anybody can look me in the eye and say, I think it's your round robins, a one-unit lay, essentially, which is going to be this one. It's going to be a four-legger, is the problem. Can go fuck themselves. It really didn't matter what I'm betting, and if you look at my history, because I've been doing a bunch of different styles, and I'm going to go back into this style, and you know, Donnie Clifton, as much as he talked his shit and didn't really pan through last time either, but yeah, we're going to be playing the Russians in the hometown advantage, even though it's the desert, but you know, we're just going to do our fucking Charlie from fucking, I'm sorry, folks, my brain is fucking dead. I can't wait for the break next week. It's always sunny over there, GIF, you know, trying to connect the, you know, whatever tinfoil hat theories is going on in the space, because that is what is rewarded, that's what pays it off, and in those people's defense, not shitting on them, I mean, they're showing to be right, you know, more than my ass, so let's go Umar. I mean, forget the stylistic bullshit that I just laid out, you know, he's the Dagestani Russian guy, he's related to Khabib. That'll make the promotion more money if he gets elevated to a title shot. It'll help their global market for as much as they still care about that. Dan Tom Jerkoff GIF here. All right. I'll go a little bit to the chat and we'll push on. I'm going to try not to get caught too much on there. Rios is in Truesdale. What's going on, man? The regulars in the house. James Kendrick, my homie in the house. Synchro Wing. I love PY&I. I love you too, brother. Rain Lamina, I just want Dan to win an event. No pun today, just sending Dan some vibes. That's how sad it is. Rain Lamina doesn't have a pun to me. Like, my people are like, you know, I just want him to win. Yeah. Not that I don't get haters anymore, but like, I feel like that's where a majority of them have gone. They just like, I think my case is so sad. They're like, Jesus Christ, like, you know, maybe God forbid they actually thought like, maybe this guy didn't actually deserve it. Like, say what you will. He doesn't, you know, seem like a bad dude. Maybe there's that. That's wishful thinking. The real truth is they probably just, like anybody, you get tired. No matter how inviting the punching bag is, you're going to get tired of hitting the punching bag. So I think that's more the case with me. Rain Lamina, how much bankroll did you begin with? So it's tough to say. So here's the funny thing is, like, not only can listeners, the ironic part about me tracking when not just I'm doing bad, because everybody does bad in this game more than they do good, and everybody of course has bad streaks because again, everybody, whether they want to admit it or not, does more bad than they do good. It's just, can you do good enough to profit in the amount that you do good, right? Especially in this game where betting chalk can be dangerous, even in trends like currently where it's been hitting a lot in the last year or so, right? So the ironic part is first of all, I can put, you know, put a gun to my head and even with all my haters out there, be confident enough that listeners of the Protecting Neck podcast, whether they've been listening, especially if they've been listening for a while, but even if they've been listening just for like 3 years or more, will know that it always hadn't been like this. That even when I thought I was doing bad and being hard on myself, which there was plenty of that, I was guilty of that. And boy, do I regret doing that now in hindsight. I was hitting good. I mean, just from anecdotally, like, I don't remember Dan being this miserable all the time on the podcasts. I don't remember Dan losing this much. Just from, like, simple shit like that, that I think we all can, like, kind of baseline on. To, like, oh, yeah, he hit this, he hit that, there was that big night, there was this big night. And even though he couldn't string them together, still, that was a big struggle and complaint of mine. I felt like I could only, like, I could get up 20 units, and then I would bounce down 20 units that first bad year. But even that bad year, coming out of it, right, I had a trip to Puerto Rico planned at the end of the year, which I canceled. I had a trip to Thailand planned a couple months after that, which would have been the beginning of this year, which I did do. And thank God I did, because would you imagine? I mean, I already let this game steal enough from me from, like, normal social life, which leads to the loss of friend circles. Normal social life, which leads to dampering and perhaps losses of relationships, not catching up with family members, which I'm guilty of and got inboxes I need to get to right now, losing money, which is not fun, whether it's money on the table because you chose a career that doesn't pay a lot, or stuff otherwise. And I'm not trying to complain about money when I just opened up a Substack, but for example, even if you don't minus what I'm paying my guy Fenyo from the amount you guys have been supporting me and I appreciate it, like what I've gotten since I've opened it in total still doesn't cover the cost I'm going to get this month alone for hosting. Now, granted, the hosting fees only come along every 1 to 3 years, depending on which plans I'm on. And there's two different ones, right? For the hosting of the podcast plus the website fee, host fee. And those are over north of $500 that I have to pay just this month alone. And I'm very grateful. So I'm not trying to complain, but like just trying to let you guys know. I've been eating those costs for nearly a decade without ever asking for a penny, because I haven't asked for a penny. I've only recently set up stuff so, you know, people can support. I don't charge for my content. Sorry, dog's like knocking shit over here. But I've been able to cover all those costs, do all those things. And like, you know, people see like, okay, like they see like, oh, I've got a, for example, like FJ Cruiser, and it was like on a repair rack, and now it's worth like double than what I paid for it. I was got it like a repair rack in 2019 before all the off-road shit and used car market kind of boom post-COVID, right? So it was a good time to get it. But everything from like paint to tires, rims, suspension, TRD intake and exhaust. Like, you think I have money for that shit? I look at that. I can name the tires Glover to share. I can name certain things, each thing, because yeah, folks, I don't make money. I don't know. Like that was gambling winnings. That was gambling winnings. This computer that I'm streaming from, gambling winnings. It's Mac computer. The Thailand trip that I took, even amidst the losing year, gambling winnings. So even over a year into a losing, how much did I start off with? It's tough. I mean, I'd have to go way back, right? But like, for example, my bankroll, despite coming off of a losing year, which was only like, I think officially like minus 22 units, right? And then now I'm down like 80 units this year in total, just over 100 units. But like, for example, I had even during that losing year last year, I had anywhere between, you know, I'm just being real with you guys, which I think this counts for 70 to 100 units. So essentially right around where I'm, even in debt at right now and have been this year, I would keep that in my side of my bankroll. So 70 to 100 units. And I'm only betting on average, what, 7 units a card. I don't know where that stacks up on that arbitrary number that I guarantee you fucking 2% if that a gamblers go by. Only bet 33% of your bankroll. But I was doing pretty decent as far as that goes. And again, being able to still, there's like buy occasional nice things or like take time off. That's also how I could afford to take time off. And that's what's been really annoying about this stretch is that if I didn't go on that Thailand vacation, I wouldn't have had a vacation for like 2 or 3 years at that point. I don't take days off. So like I'm literally working myself crazy over here. And so for me, when I'm wanting a big night, it's not even like ego, because I never claim to be the best. It's not even like, it's not even like getting my record up at this point, because that's fucking so far gone. But for me, it's like I want to be able to just justify taking some time off. And I'm doing that next week, even though I can't afford it. But it's to the point where I'm like, okay, I either take time off, I either make my money, financial woes, tighter and make myself stress more that way, or I continue this other stress and who knows where the fuck I end up. Like it's getting that bad. So it's like gun in my head kind of choices, and I'm like, yeah, gun in my head, I got to choose health, right? So I'm going to take next week off for my birthday. But yeah, where I started, sorry, long question, rain lamina. I'm not sure, but it's just the ironic part is I just to kind of prove like that, how well I've done, how well I did, and how responsible I was actually even still being whilst on this epic losing streak. But again, this kind of, you can't go not just 2 for 21 out of events, folks, but like remember how many reverse sweeps were in there in the beginning? Like that really wiped me the fuck out. That really wiped me the fuck out to where even the stuff I was going to, that I overspent and ended up having to pay extra on. Like that kind of stuff was already depleted by the time I started coming back from Thailand and started feeling it. Because if you remember, I got hit with those big reverse sweeps in the beginning of the year. It's like 2 or 3 in a row. Who has that shit happen to them? Anyways, I'm on a fucking soapbox now, but I'm going to hurry up and go through. I'll get back to you guys' questions later. But yeah, basically, that's the annoying part is like, yeah, I don't even know if that made sense or I sounded like a braggadocious asshole. I really hope I didn't sound like the latter. It was not my intention. But yeah. Yeah, that's just kind of the reality of what it is. And then the last of it went toward my tattoo, which I had booked out from last year. Because again, I was like, even doing bad, I had like 10 grand laying around and shit. Kind of a deal as far as like bankroll and shit from playing over the years. So, yeah. No mas though, no mas. But hey, at least I got my best friend on my side forever now, which I'll hopefully show y'all sooner than later. I like the way it's healing, and got a sweet lifetime to remember trip. Let's go to the co-main event, shall we? Shitmadoff, Sharapolin. I hope you guys are all hearing me in your head, and you're annoyed as fuck by me. You're welcome. -245, Mikhail Oleksijuk, +200. Yeah, basically, again, more proven, southpaw, pressure, things on paper. You think Dan Tom would be all over the dog here. The more proven product, and watch, this is going to, because we know what happens when I bet the hype, and I back the hype, and the age, and the woo, it always fails. So maybe part of me deep down, and I don't want to admit it, because I want to at least have this double cross in my back pocket, secret from the MMA gods, who are probably listening to me as we speak. But honestly, again, there is some analysis that lines up with it, and I've said this before, as much as flash and bullshit as people want to talk, and I want to talk to counter against it, the truth, of course, lies somewhere in the middle, and in the middle lies the middle kick, or the midsection kicks, which are his strongest weapons, his body shots, that is, Sharmagomedov. And Mikhail Oleksijuk, despite making a name for himself with his body shots, he is shown very susceptible to the body shots. Body kicks, not very good kicking defense in general, which is going to be bad here. But yes, very susceptible to the body. We saw that in the Oleksijuk fight. We saw that in the Chidi Ninja Kiwani fight. In the Chidi Ninja Kiwani fight as well before he ended up taking over that fight. And Chidi just the bottom dropped out, which... as we've seen, can happen. As much as I like me some cheaty bang bang, we know that can happen. And that was his one win in his last 4 fights, I believe, off the top of my head. And kind of like what we were talking about with Fanyo, you never know what to put a little more backing, for lack of a better word, behind these tinfoil hat theories and whatnot, right? You never know what condition these fighters are in. You have to assume that, you know, there's inside knowledge in the camp. You know, it's a quick turnaround for both fighters, except one guy lost, you know. And granted, he lost by submission. Granted, you know, it wasn't the longest fight to take a lot of damage from. But, you know, this guy's getting clubbed and sub a lot. And he doesn't have Oleksijic, and he doesn't have a strong camp. It looks like he just runs his own camp. He just trains with, like, some randoms kind of a deal. And yeah, like, he just kind of, you know, knows his role as, like, a gun for hire. And I think the matchmakers know that. And regardless, if you want to get into real theories as far as people getting paid and shit, which is just like we went over last time, and this stuff's happened in the sport before, so it's not crazy, folks, but like it's usually like, you know, way back in the day UFCs, you know, if we're talking about the UFC. And again, I'm feeling like I'm back in, you know, it's like watching the fucking Lakers in playoff games. Fucking Kobe Bryant knife hand chopping Rasheed Magomedov and getting Rasheed Wallace and getting Rasheed Wallace getting fucking flagrant fouled, and then knowing the exact guy to do it to because that motherfucker had a temper. So of course you give him a flagrant means you're getting a technical foul for Rasheed as well because he's going to argue it, especially when it's actually bullshit. And he got boy who cried a wolf. I still hold on to this shit. See, it's fucking. That's what we're seeing here in the UFC. So, give me Shara Magomedov, round one knockout. I played by knockout, minus 115. So stupid, laid the chalk. But again, because I saw something that I liked, because I like the round robin and stuff, might as well play something to pay off the potential round robin that I could cash. And I even did doubly stupid. I actually put Nurmagomedov and Magomedov in a parlay. Together, they're only paying you like minus 121 to minus 131-ish, depending on what you're getting. So I had to add a third leg, hey, which I joked about and we'll get to later. I will probably be putting Umar in my round robin by sub, which I'll be giving you guys my round robin at the end of this, which I usually don't. And Shara Magomedov, only one house has the round one KO prop, which is like plus 225, and the other house I usually round robin at doesn't have it, but they do have Shara round one, which is plus 225 as well, which is weird, but like, not that he's going to get the sub, but I guess it's technically more coverage. So I'm probably going to throw that in there. And you know me, again, I hate playing the hype. I hate playing the chalk. I hate playing hype chalk that's unproven. I hate playing hype chalk that's unproven to win in round one. I hate playing hype chalk that's unproven to win in round one because our main condition is round one. That is fucking flag after flag after flag, but that's what fucking cash is. So I'm steering right the fuck into that. And let's see what happens. Double exposure. Oh my goodness, that's so stupid, Dan. Now, so if Shara Magomedov goes down, not only do you lose your KO pop for a unit, and you got a parlay that I'm assuming is for a unit. Yes, Dan, it is. Answering myself in the third person, you're going to add to my fucking craziness. Yeah, it's stupid, which is why I'm probably going to be playing an underdog who I just officially picked, and I'm playing a prop on him, and I might as well kick for coverage. But I haven't figured out which house that I want to play him in, because I do want to try to get the best number as much as I hate on the CLV stuff, and it'll be closing line value anyways by definition with this guy. But we'll get to him later. We'll get to that coverage later. We got heavy chalk at the top of the card. We're steering right the fuck into it. Davison Figueiredo, minus 142. Marlon Chito Vera, plus 120. Fan of both guys. I haven't looked into this one because I know both guys, and I know where I'm kind of leaning toward this one, which is Figueiredo. And so is the market. Again, this is one of many fights where it opened as a pick'em, and public money is coming on one side. In this case, I do agree with the public as far as Figueiredo to win. By decision, probably. I could see him getting some backpack time, and actually wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world if he did submit Vera. You're getting a crazy line on it, I believe, as well. But yeah, tiny Brazilians who can counter and hit hard have always been kind of a kryptonite to Marlon Vera. Whether it was John Lineker, Douglas Da Silva, Deion Drugs, or Thais Tuqueira, Figueiredo. The former Manel Cap, and now, you know, people can't jerk off on Figgy. They're doing it for my guy Manel Cap over there, which, by the way, that was a whole crappy situation there last week, was it not, all around, really? I don't know if any, like, the fans, Cop, I would argue Makhachev, you know, like, nobody won that shit last week. That was crappy. Shouts to my guy Nick Sick there. In the corner, Chiesa, so I'm going to go with Figueiredo by decision, but I'm not planning on playing or touching this fight, folks. I just want to watch and enjoy it as a, you know, somewhat a fan of both those fighters, despite the jokes that I make. Michael Chiesa, minus 600. Jesus fucking Christ, what did he open at? Plus 440 against the ghost of Tony Ferguson. Chiesa opened at minus 455, so I mean, there's not that much of a difference when we're getting that high. Minus 455 to minus 600. It's funny because Chiesa is allergic to, like, front chokes, and Ferguson, at one time, not one of the best, but, you know, one of the more notable front choke artists in his prime, I would say, at the very least. I mean, I shared what he did with Lando Venata, showing some of my favorite tactics, going for the guillotine just to get him to hand fight, which opens a space between the triceps and the lats that can, your dorsing arm can there slide through, and it's beautiful. He did it standing because he's a crazy motherfucker. I personally like doing it for the mount folks. It's one of those things that's like, mounted guillotines are tough to get. Like, I used to like it, try to get them, but they're so obvious that, like, unless you try to do some shit where somebody tries to fucking bridge and you catch the guillotine, maybe. But most people, like, are pretty good at defending it. So what I would do is I would just make it obvious that I wanted it, because I want their hands. I want to know where their hands are. I want to know where their defenses are. So from the mount, I would go for a guillotine, like, super obviously, even though it's not, like, under the chin, but just so you're kind of just grabbing over this part at that point, enough to make them, like, you know, start grabbing your hands and trying to force it down. And let's say you're going it for the right, on the right side, you lean off to the right. If you're going for the left, you lean off to the left for this. But I would lean off to the right as they're hand fighting, because now you can kind of just lean, maybe rest on an elbow just a little bit. You're still kind of posting yourself in case they're going to buck you, right? You know, you're keeping your hips down, knowing that could be the one fuck up from this position. But as soon as they hand fight and you just lean off to the side, you get that little space between the lat and the triceps that you see in that Lando Venata T Ferg standing position that I shared via Twitter at Dan Tom MMA. And then from there, while still staying in your mount, and you can even, like, go over and start doing that premature. You know how people will hook the darse, or even like an anaconda, and then they'll try to, like, run and grab the leg and hook a leg to try to finish it and get that choking leverage. Well, since you're from a mount and you're sliding off, the side you're sliding off to, that opposite leg, you're sliding off to your right, that means their right leg with your left leg, you can start hooking your left leg behind their right leg knee, right? And you're, in other words, you're already getting that leg isolation in place. So when you kind of space up and slide in your darse and then kind of have to maybe hit your adjustment, you've already got their leg, even though you're off to the side, you've already got their leg in place. It's a really slick finish for you grapplers out there if you want to try it. Because I suck. If I can do it, that means y'all can make some money off that. So, you know, it's curious, right? He's allergic to front chokes. But that being said, you know, Ferguson, you could argue, you know, a lot of his jiu-jitsu was questionable to begin with the Danny Castillo and the Rogan, you know, doing the woo-woo. Like, oh, he's stealing his energy with the Darsh bullshit. Like, there was a lot of bullshit in there, too. But now that he's past his prime, it's like all coming apart at the seams. We've seen him with just arms broken, legs broken in there by submissions or kicks with the arms. We've seen him put out, Bobby Green put him out. So for me, it's just like, what round does Chiesa get it done in, right? Chiesa traditionally gets things done in round one and two. Ferguson usually isn't finished in round one, but I think for some reason I feel like I'm leaning toward a round one, because, like, even though Ferguson seems to only get worse as the fight goes, I don't know. I feel like maybe it's to the point, you know, maybe I'm overreacting, or maybe it is to the point where Tony is so bad that, like, if Chiesa doesn't finish him in round one, it's to the point where, like, maybe something went wrong at this point. I don't know if I'm just overcorrecting my sadness hedge there. But let's go T-Ferg. Let's go to T-Ferg's thing. Has he even ever been finished in round one? I don't think so, outside of, like, early in his career by, like, a early submission loss. Yeah, it's usually taken it. Round one, Chandler was the last round one that I remember him looking decent in. That round one with Bobby Green was weird. He started looking kind of decent there until he got his eye knocked out. The Nate Diaz was, like, kind of sketchy. I remember that, because that was the argument that I had that, like, okay, he shot, but even, like, shot Ferguson, I think, is still good enough to beat Paddy Pimblett. If he can survive the first round, which was not the case, although Paddy sadly gassed fucking beating up the course of Tony Ferguson, and it did not matter a bit, did it? I don't know. It's hard to choose, Parker, between rounds one and two. So what I did was, I even though it wasn't, like, the sexiest number, plus 125, I'm playing that in my round robin. It's one of my more confident legs in the round robin. So we got, for those keeping track at home, we got Kiesa and Nurmagomedov by sub, which I really like. Shara by KO, or Shara round one. And then I'll give you guys the fourth leg shortly. Going to continue to cut through. Once I get to the main card, I'll talk again. But as you can see, I'm trying not to distract myself because I just make the podcast longer and more depressing. And try not to do that, believe it or not. Mackenzie, minus 120. Lupi Gunnez, plus 100. I don't know. This one has split decision written all over it. I was, even though I don't have access to it, going to write up split or Mackenzie by split for my prop squad, but I'm going with something else that I'm actually playing and have access to play. But I feel like either Mackenzie gets the sub or she wins the split decision because this will be close. And Mackenzie, whether she lands or not, will hit the slop shots. And I saw that she's actually working with Jason DiPirlo again, I believe. Which, again, I was, you know, one of the first and only people saying that ahead of time to cash a nice big plus number on a more proven product, which was nice when that actually fucking does work out the few times. That was one of them. And I also cashed, even though I didn't get to enjoy this cash because I was on a plane in her last fight. I was flying into Hong Kong exactly at the time by landing while this was going on. But when I played, who was it? Who did she fight? Was it Hanji Jobes? Hanji Jobes! No, she beat Hanji Jobes. It was, sorry for people shouting at the screen. I'm going to pull it up right now. So, Lemos. Yeah, Lemos. I just played Lemo straight up money line that last time. But I think Mackenzie gets it this time. Even though I like Lupita, she has been making grappling improvements. So will it be enough to not get sub? She already has, you know, some decent wrestling and better wrestling than Dern. But she won't have the size. Not that that will be a huge factor, but the pop and the shots perhaps will again on the feet. So I am going to side with Dern by split decision, but I do not want anything to do with that fight. Lastly on the main card, then I'll get to you guys in the chat. I'll check time. We got Yoel Alvarez, minus 166, comeback on Elvis Brenner, plus 140. So despite picking Brenner, which seems kind of crazy to get finished last time out for the first time because the guy's really durable, has never been finished. In my defense, I picked round two, and that did look like it. And in my defense, it wasn't just a normal fight. It was like one of Elvis Brenner, you know, who's looked rough on some weight cuts before, granted, but he looked real bad, if anybody remembers. It was a real bad one. Where, again, you got everything you could ask for. It was a high-paced round one. It was like playing one of those things where, again, I'm not going to bother to go back and retrace it, but you bet your ass, because it often does. It would have saved my night, because I guarantee you something else in the round robin hit. And this was one of those where it was close. You know, you're like, ah. Maybe not like so close, like, oh, just a few more seconds or anything like that. Not saying that, but as far as like, see, I wasn't crazy. Look at that, you know? But Brenner came back in round three, as he tends to do. We've seen him do it against Guram Kutatulatse. He's got plenty of round threes in there, and against a guy who is, people get so offended. They're like, leave the weight bullies alone. Why are you picking on tall guys? They have it so hard. But yeah, like, I'm sorry. I'm just, the guy who clearly would be not just a middleweight, but a decently sized middleweight is fighting down at 155 pounds. Guy's 6'3 with a decent frame. He's actually, if you're like really a fan of Yoel Alvarez, if you actually care about his health, you probably would want him to move up. But if you even cared about, like, just selfishly about more cool fights and what he could do as a fighter, and you actually like genuinely like him, like, you should want him to move up to at least welterweight. Jankweight, I should say. Which was funny, like, poor Bilal, man. Now welterweight's, like, starting to get, like, a lot of, like, shit just because Bilal won. But in me and Fanyo's defense, by the way, we've been calling out welterweight for a minute now. Like, we've been leading the way. Jankweight. Hashtag Jankweight. So, you guys, spread the good word about Jankweight out there, okay? And give credit to me and Fanyo, Jankweight. But yeah, like, Alvarez just, like, peters out. You're like, oh, well, he actually won late in round two his last fight against Diakiesi. And I went back and watched it. Oh, yeah, this is one of those fights again. I can't remember if I was on. I know I picked Diakiesi, but I couldn't find, like, where my place. I have to try to look it up, folks. But, like, I could have found it if I looked deeper. I just didn't care to. But, like, yeah, it was a classic. DKSE was doing everything I thought he was going to do, and many did, I'm sure. And then it was one of those perfect moments where he puts down the pack as Yoel Alvarez picks it back up. But Yoel Alvarez, even with that, like, gift and looking better than he normally does and actually making weight and all these things, and the positions that DKSE was literally giving to him at a certain point, he still couldn't really put him away. And it was a head clash and a bad reaction from the said head clash by DiaKessie that led to it. Because I don't even, not that DiaKessie wasn't hurt, but I think he was trying to play to the ref. I think he was hurt, but I think he was also trying to play to the ref more than he was, and that allowed him to take more shots, which actually really fucked him up. And Alvarez didn't let him off the hook at that point, which, you know, good on him. He did what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? But that being said, how replicable is that? How replicable is a lot of his wins? How well have a lot of his wins or fights aged? I would argue not that well. And if this does get to round three, okay, maybe round two, it could, you know, Ellsbender, I think, could get a finish there too. But if it does, even though Ellsbender seems like it's one round one or round three, and decisions is where it kind of can go, you know, he's either losing close decisions or losing decisions outright kind of a deal. So yeah, I just feel like round three is the hot round for many reasons, whether it's, you know, Ellsbender, you're betting in a vacuum, whether it's Yoel Alvarez, you're fading in a vacuum, or whether it's the way, obviously, those two fighters would match up with each other. Either scenario, standing alone, justifies a round three play. Dan, what are we doing? Why are we going back to justifying plays with analysis? That's gotten you fucking nowhere. I know, this is the Dan Tom tease, this is the round robin tease, and this is the possible dog coverage tease to counter the bullshit that I'm flinging around up top. Now, if I do lay, and even if I do get, which I probably won't, because I don't get a plus 150 that's being listed, my best line that's available to me is a plus 145 that I'm seeing, of course. Of course, I don't get the plus 150. Of course, I don't get plus 152 again. These are nothing new, folks. This is just one of the many levels that I'm playing against. That, of course, is not taken into context when looking at my ultra shitty record that I must wear. But even if that hits, it'll just cover one of the two, the parlay or the Shipmanov KO prop. But again, man, I mean, not just, oh, what's on this card. You know, you fall prey, right? You're in a room full of twos and sixes, and the fives start looking like eights, and you get yourself into some trouble there. But no, I mean, what is the adage that I think serves us all well, regardless of our style, is that you want to put money on anybody who fights for your money, but especially a dog. A dog will fight for your money. That's the archetype, right? Dogs will fight for your money. Fighters who can come from behind. Fighters that can have bad weight cuts, be hurt, be tired, be dominated by actual good fighters that they arguably could be finished by, like Orobot in the last fight. And the motherfucker still keeps coming and almost got a finish in round three again. So yeah, give me Brenner round three. I'll probably put a Scottie Pippen on it just straight up because I do really like it. But maybe not, because I'm going to play Brenner. But if I play Brenner, I'm probably going to be right at about 5 units. Just under 5 units and right at or over if I sprinkle on the round three, which I don't know if I'll do since I'll have it in the whatchamacallit round robin. I just wrote it in here. So I'll probably have a play on Brenner too, just for a unit. We'll see, folks. We'll see. Oh yeah, I was going to bet like $1 and $2 and stuff, like bets just for this shit. And that would have guaranteed me a win as well, because nothing would have pissed me off more than losing than winning in that scenario. Winning after I've lost and had my heart just fucking beat out of me. And then I would like go, because then what would happen is I would bet like $1, $2. And then I would like probably sweep the board and everybody would be like, look at you, Dan, you swept the board. And it would all be like well-meaning, and it would be like you guys too. And it'd all be well-meaning, and I love you guys. And be like, you guys have just been waiting for me to do well. I'm like, yeah, see, Dan, that's what I'm talking about. And meanwhile, I'm fucking steaming because I pretty much win nothing out of it. And even if I did bet the normal, I would still be down. And I'd just be fucking fuming, you know, because it'd just be ironic. Like, oh, of course, now I win when I don't bet anything. You motherfuckers could have used this. You know, again, just one, you know, and that would have make my week off next week a lot less stressful, right? And I'm like, no, it's gonna. Let's just fuck it. Let's just go. Let's sack up the last of whatever we have left, and let's throw it at the board here. And then we'll take a week off, regroup, and see what we're even willing to wager going forward the rest of this year. All right, I'm going to clean up the chat. Actually, I'm just going to blow through the rest of these real fast and then clean up the chat. I'm sorry, folks. Because we got as Matt Mirzakhanov, a.k.a. David Harbour from Stranger Things, minus 205. Alonzo Menafield, plus 170. I don't know if Predator Pat's going to be there with him in the corner. I know Menafield has improved his wrestling and has overexceeded expectations in general as well as mine. And I need to acknowledge that. And I need to give him credit for that. And he deserves credit for that. Good on you, Menafield. And good on Predator Pat as far as like a good cornering, right? For him, you know, like Dan Thomas said, even Dan Thomas was shitting on Predator passing. I didn't expect him to be, you know, do this well with him. That being said, Menafield has had a propensity to eat left-sided strikes. Something I've seen in my analysis, dating back to me picking even OSP of all people against him, and that left hook came through. Even though it was from orthodox stance, OSP mainly fights from southpaw, but from either stance, it was the left hand, so I felt pretty good about that one. It didn't, you know, perhaps come through in other fights, although even Thick Willie, say what you will about the decision, even Thick Willie was able to stun him a bit with the left hand, you know, with his awkward jank left hand. But a guy with a southpaw with a piston of a left hand, an educated left hand, go to the body, go to the head, plus he's got the right hook, the timing change, the in and outs, and some deceptive athleticism and grappling ability, at least competency, I should say, at the very least, in his own right. Mirzakhanov, well, I like him. I don't think it's sexy enough to pick him by decision, and I think he could get it done by knockout here, to be honest. Excuse me. That's going to be the pick, so instead of choosing Parker, I just made him my third parlay piece, and again, we went with the ovs. We went with the ovs, we parlayed, we went with the chalk, the ovs, the parlays, and the Abu Dhabis. I mean, how MMA gambling Twitter does it get than this? We're going with the more hype person in each matchup, probably the more younger person in each matchup. I mean, how much more MMA can't lose, right? Plus 184, it was that parlay. I got it at a decent number there. That actually was a decent number. Bet online, you get better numbers for that, where it's going to be like plus 169 at most other houses on average. But I just put a unit on that. And if that hits, well, then we probably hit our Shitmadov KO. And if for some reason Shitmadov just goes to decision and wins, which would be the weirdest fucking fight in the world, then I guess we pay off that or whatever. But yeah, it seems like it's all or nothing, which is what was worrying me. That's why, guys, I did add the Brazilian dog or plan on adding the Brazilian dog. At the very least, he's in my pick in my round robin, but I mean, I'll probably add his money line is what I'm saying. But yeah. That essentially wraps it up for plays. I don't know shit about Coy Fernandez. I haven't looked in that fight against Muhammad Yahya or why he's a minus 399.5 favorite. But I'll take your word for it. Whatever. I won't be touching that shit. Shamil. Shout out to my guy, Guru Scouting MMA, the Big Meal Shamil. I've been having myself some Big Meal Shamils. I've got a Big Meal Shamil in me, too, as you can see by my paunch. I got the Pennington paunch. That's why Dan Tom's not being offensive to Pennington, because I'm a fellow punched up, getting punched up. And Gazia's punched up too, the Big Meal. I'll probably pick the Big Meal over Dontale, Willie Mays, Hayes Mays, over plus 210 over there. But, you know, do I want to play heavyweight chalk, especially Shamil, Big Meal, after what he did while I was away, apparently? I haven't caught up to see it. No, thank you. Stay away from that fight, regardless who I pick. Guram Kutatladze, minus 238. Jordan Vucinic, plus 195. You know, that number jumped out at me just because it was a pretty big number, but he is taking it on short notice. And Kutatladze is the real deal. I think it's just more me being scared because Kutatladze has let me down, even though I still stand by him winning the Guram the fucking Demir Uzmagulov fight. He has an argument to win it even without that bullshit takeaway spot that Herb Dean, whoever, took away from him, which was bullshit. Y'all think the Arnold Allen Masvar Ivloev was worth a debate? That one was even worse as far as that one goes, because this one definitely wasn't even fucking illegal. But of all the times Herb Dean's gonna have eagle eyes over there, of course it's that time, right? While I'm on the, you know, of course he's on the clock while I'm on the bet. Sam Page plus 142, Victoria Dudikova plus minus 170. Who knows? Pylene Dudikova, who fucking cares? But I'll be rooting for Sam Page. just for the shit. Maybe I'll pick Sam Page just for the shit of it, because I need some underdogs, and I probably won't be picking Rolando Bedoya, even though he's live, because Jai Herbert, I always worry about, minus 142. But I'll probably be picking the black country banger, Jai Herbert. Dennis Tulin, plus 180. Cedric Dumas, dumbass, minus 218. You know, I don't know. I'm sure MMA Gambling Twitter is already all over Dumas as well, at chalk. No offense to you guys. By the way, if we're going to be, you know, calling out people for beating women, why don't we actually call it for people that actually beat women? We got plenty of those to worry about in MMA. But hey, you know, we got to be Outrage City about something, right, these days. Fucking Outrage City never sleeps. Any more fights to fucking cover? Can I get the fuck out of here? Clearly, I am so stoked. Yeah, I think that's it. All right, let's get to the chat. How did we do on time? Oh, it's under an hour. Let's go. All right. Chris London. Hey, you boys. Thursday evening. Dan Tom live on the phone and Jake Shields pod on the big screen. Synchro Wing. Jake Shields is a podcast. Synchro Wing. Nick Diaz probably, speaking of the scrap pack, Synchro Wing. Nick Diaz probably thought that Abu Dhabi was in Chicago, then found out. He said, no way. Yeah, I would not be surprised, actually. Ghost Phantom, I shouted out the wrist feeds and wrist control you shared on Cagecraft. Oh, thank you for shouting me out on Cagecraft. I appreciate that, Ghost. He hunts the back, Ghost says, a lot, but sometimes he loses it since he hunts the RNC a lot. Sure, yeah, people get better at defending that too. Jimmy Kudo, I read Jack Slack's article on Umar. He said Umar likes the southpaw rear hook as a counter to everything. Rear hook, but the check right hook, I noticed he likes that. Check right hook from southpaw. Like a real Luke Rockhold he cribbed off of. Jimmy Kudo adds, can that get him into trouble against a person like Corey who will double up on his lead hand? Yeah, I hope Corey does double up in lead hand for his own sake. But that's actually a really great read from you, Jimmy. Yeah, that absolutely could. Great call and great read, sir. See, I love my chat here. You guys are some sharp folks there. James Kendrick, wrestling is a labor-intensive skill. Sanhagen hitting the body could be a big factor. Again, as I just compliment my chat, James Kendrick comes in with the big, look at the big brain on Brett. On my guy James here. Absolutely, yeah. I love the digging hooks to the body. And part and parcel why I said things could get interesting is because if Sanhagen survived, even if he's getting wrestled, I got to imagine he's landed some body work. Great shout, James. Rios in Truesdale. Do you hope Nurmagomedov loses even if you're picking him just because he has the worst fan base in existence in MMA? I mean, I guess he has some of that fan base too, but I'm not going to blame Umar for it, man. You know what I'm saying? I really not even try not to blame Islam and Khabib for theirs. It is what it is, and he is going to get that too, and that is going to be excruciating. But, you know, there's a lot to like about Umar, and he doesn't seem like a terrible person. But, yeah, you know, those fan bases are what they are. You know, and there is, like, a lot of, like, oh, my God, do this one guy. I watched a little bit of this Nurmagomedov highlight, and it's like the main one on Twitter. It's like 29 minutes long. Like, this dude literally is like, you could hear in his voice, he is like coming all over himself. Like, I'm surprised he didn't have to change. I wonder how many times he had to change clothes during the recording. Lazy Bed, is that Extreme Couture shirt more of a Hunter or Forest Green? I'm calling it Hunter Green. You're asking the wrong person, Lazy Bed. I like the color. But I'm really bad with colors. Like, I couldn't even tell the blue from the purple belts on the mat today. Like, I'm like, fuck, I'm so glad I didn't have to line up. Because I'm like, I wouldn't even know where I'm at. Like, what were the stripes? I don't have any stripes, so that part's easy. But I just don't know the fucking colors. Fenyo, there's my right-hand man there. My man Dan Tom, to go out about that. You're too kind, brother. Jin Karasu, oh, happy birthday in advance. Thank you, appreciate that. Rios is in Truesdale. The Shitmadoff is a great name for Shara. The weirdos on the timeline praising him is stupid. It is. And again, shout out to my guy Brad Tazchuk. I always got to give credit where credit's due because that's like not the thing that's really done so much in this space. This is why I appreciate people like Ghost. But yeah, that was Brad's nickname from the MMA Analysis podcast. Shout out to them. Phantom Punch Breakdowns. Aleksejic places his rear hand at the top of his head when shown anything offensive from his opponent. So the open side body kick is always there. Yeah, he's really bad at defending the body stuff. And so is Yoel Alvarez, and Brenner throws to the body, hence my round three play, hence me liking Brenner as well. Forgot to say that. Lazybed, Rashid Magomedov, new mythical fighter. Yeah, right? Yeah. I do miss Rashid, though, with the R-A spelled differently. R-A S-H-I-D, the slow burn Rashid. James Kendrick, I think you were right about Figgy just because Vera doesn't do anything anymore. Yeah, it's hard to depend on Marlon Vera in his more opportunistic style. Sammy Arnett, why is Chiesa allergic to front chokes? Is it due to the takedown attempts? I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a mental thing because he just, it's like he gets caught and he just shuts down by them. It's weird. And it's by people who, like, you wouldn't expect, although they are underrated in their own right, in their own way. James Kendrick, I listened to Ghost's Cagecraft analysis on Dern versus Loopy. He said that Loopy is very susceptible to the jab and resets when strikes are placed in space where she wants to shoot. Yeah, I noticed that reset. That's good. Good read. He adds, but he thinks that Dern is smart enough to exploit that habit. Why are people so high on these two fighters? Is it because the Horndog fans? Are you calling Ghost a Horndog? Of course you aren't. I'm just kidding there. Yeah, there's a lot of Horndog fans. And that's also a reason why I'm going to pick. And if you have access to it, it probably wouldn't hurt playing Dern by split decision. Because, again, like, it's like the Michelle Watterson factor. You know, they're gonna look at the they're gonna look at the eye catching stuff, if you know what I mean. And double goes for Dern. Reels isn't Tuesday. I'm gonna take a page out of Ghost page and put money on the split draw where no one wins. I don't like Dern or Loopy. Overhype wins. There you go. Sinker Wing Alvarez versus Brenner has to be sleeper fight of the night. Yeah, certainly. Hopefully it's good regardless, right? Even though it probably won't save me from enjoying it if I lose because I'm just so beat down at this point. 170, Rain Laminate says 170 equals jank weight equals people don't remember that 170 is the poster division for fighters that look like their urine can melt walls. I like that. Lazy bed, gotta bet on vibes. Vibes are a plus EV in 2024. I know what you mean. I don't know. He says, I don't know what that means. I don't know what this means. I'm just pretending I'm Johnny the Greek. I'm like, how is Johnny doing? I hope he's doing well, man. I'm not a hater here. Johnny and Nikolika, shout out to their show on the line. Ghost Phantom, do you like Chipotle? I do. I got to stay away from it, though, because then I get the chips and queso is the problem. Shout out to my guy Ghost, who has the ultimate Chipotle ordering skills. You have to order a little bit of rice and beans because they overload you with it, even if you like that stuff. And then you got to ask for double meat. It's like, to get the actual proper portion, you have to order double meat, which sucks. And to get the proper portion of rice and beans, you have to order less. You see how they do that? But it's not just that. Shout out to my guy Goes, right? Here's what you do to get... Because if you say double meat, they'll like give you just like two quick scoops. But because they know everybody's skimps and people always pick on them already, there's like a PTSD in there. So they're going to... Even though it's a shitty scoop that they're supposed to give you, they're going to give you the best scoop as possible, right? Talking like a real fat kid here. This is coming from me. So you got to let them give you the best scoop possible. And then when they're ready to move on, okay, what else do you want? Actually, you know what? You got to make it look like you just decided on the moment. You know what? Can I get double meat? And they go, oh, all right. And then they got to match that scoop, right? They got to match that scoop. They can't skimp you. So that's how you do it, Chipotle. Shout out to Goes. James Kendrick, do you remember Alonzo Menafield running circles around Carlos Ober, Fantasy Jewish Fight League. I said that. That wasn't him. James says, and hitting his head on the fence. Very funny. Yeah, that was wild. He ran like headfirst into it. Lazy bed. Bless you, Dan Tom. Oh, thank you. We call Shamil Gassiev. Oh, I like Gassiev. Good shout, Ghost. And happy birthday. Thank you, guys. All right, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. Just over an hour. Hey, look, that's short for a Dan Tom show. Hopefully it wasn't too painful. Hopefully the recap show, at least on my part, wasn't painful. Fenya was the man. I'm just trying to not be too dour and depressing. Thank you, guys. Hit the like if you haven't. Share. Share my stuff out. Hit the likes. That's honestly the best ways you can support. If you can't afford to be a YouTube member, shout out to members of the Dan Clan. I love seeing the I Know Kung Fu Abbeys for those of you who are here supporting. Again, you're not supporting me, you're also supporting my guy Fenyo, the show. But yeah, Substack at Dan Tom MMA and YouTube if you want to. But you can subscribe for free here. You can subscribe free to Substack. You can follow me at Dan Tom MMA on all social platforms for free. And honestly, that helps arguably just as much. So please, thank you. I don't deserve it. Good luck on your picks and plays, and always protect your neck.